guys, this is Jimmy over at the Disney Nerds Podcast, and I just wanted to take a minute to talk to you about DVC Resale Market, a World of DVC company. DVC Resale Market is the leader in the DVC resale industry, with 13 former Disney Vacation Club guides and 3 former Disney Vacation Club quality assurance managers. If you're thinking of buying DVC, browse the largest selection of DVC resale listings anywhere with DVC experts on hand 7 days a week to answer any of your questions. If you're thinking of selling, turn to the friendly professionals at DVC Resale Market, where over 98% of listings sell within 30 days. Go to DVCResaleMarket.com or call 1-844-382-7767. Let them know that the Disney Nerds Podcast sent you.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello, Disney Nerds, and welcome to the Tuesday Night Live Show. How is everybody doing out there tonight? Should have a fun show lined up for you guys tonight. I've got my buddy Ed with me. Ed, how's it going?
Doing well, Jimmy. Jimmy, doing well. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you. 9 days away from my Carnival cruise.
Awesome. Very cool.
It's not Disney, but still fun and looking forward to it. We got the whole family going, so it should be a really fun time.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Very good. 2 days away from Food and Wine opening. Going to be there Thursday with Sam to celebrate the opening. 2 years in a row now. Hopefully, knock on wood, everything works out.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Trying to make my list. I'm starting to go through the things now for the new menus.
Before we roll the intro and get the show shared out, I had a question for you that I had posted up on the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page the other day. What is your go-to footwear when heading to the Disney theme parks? And hold your answer, because we're going to get back to that once later on. But just think about that, and everybody that's already here, think about that, because I did want to talk about that and get you guys' thoughts, because it seems like there's a wide variety of answers to that. So what we're going to do right now is share our Tuesday night intro, so we can share the show to all our to all the groups and pages that we're connected to, and we'll see you guys back here in just about 2 minutes. See you then. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining. So before we went ahead and let me say hello to everybody real quick. Hey, Kim, thanks for stopping by. David.
Hi, Kim.
From Indy. Lily, hello from Michigan. If you're in the chat, if you're here and you're watching, please take the time to just drop a comment and say hello and let us know where you're watching from so we can give you a shout out and tell you hello back.
I was in Indianapolis one time, a long time ago.
Brad from Clemson. Hey, Brad, how's it going? Thanks for joining. There's Austin from Enid, Oklahoma. Boomer Sooner. Austin's a OSU, not a Oklahoma Sooner fan. He's an OSU fan, so he'll hate me for that.
Chime in on that.
Kim's a bit. Kim, go Pokes. Kim's a OU fan. You know, her family's from the other part of Oklahoma, I guess, closer to Tulsa. Okay. Kim says she's watching from her room.
Like what, 50 feet away?
Yeah, like in the other room. In Marrero, Louisiana, the lower east side of Marrero. Mm-hmm. Swansea Searcher, how you doing? Thanks for joining. Come on in. You know what? We're like very, very close to the kickoff of the college football season. So I know it's not Disney related, but if you feel the need to drop your, you know, the school you pull for, go ahead and do that now. I'll give it a big go Tigers. I'm very excited about the college and just football season in general, but
sure.
especially the college football season for me. I know a lot of people a little further up north, the NFL is a bigger deal here in the Southeast. College football is probably a little bit bigger than, well, it's all big, but, right. So I left you guys off with before we went to the intro, I left you guys off with a question. I posted this on the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page last night. And I want to know, what is your go-to shoe, sandal, footwear when heading down to the Disney parks? And we'll start with you, Ed.
Straight out sneakers that are comfortable is all I use. I have two pairs I usually bring, one for my main pair and one for my backup pair. In my elderly age, I just need arch support. Other than that, everything's fine. And dry, you know.
Yeah, I think
I envy everybody else out there in sandals and Docksiders. I envy everybody that can wear those things and like still not have the issues. So that's great.
I do. So my go-to brand lately has been my On Clouds, whether they be the regular On Clouds, the On Cloud X's. But to me, the biggest thing for me is bringing multiple pairs, and I try to avoid wearing the same pair 2 days in a row, just because every pair of shoes has a little different pressure points and friction points and stuff like that. And I find if you switch them out, you know, and change it around, it helps not the aches and the pains in your feet.
Yeah, good point. and people are mentioning brands. I had a pair of Skechers, my last brand. They're my backups now, and I have a pair of Nikes currently. Not really that I shop the brands. It was just the ones I found at the right price.
Yeah.
But Crocs, I heard, is a big one that people love. I've seen their mention right now.
A lot of comfort. Yeah, a lot of people talk about how comfortable they are.
Yeah, no, I can mow the lawn in Crocs. I can't go much longer than that.
Brad, I would say that the crowds were a bit lower for this trip, and we're going to get to that. Swansea Searcher, go Tigers.
Yeah, I have a real good indicator for that, too, when we talk about it.
Tina says Skechers, On running shoes. I'm with the On. Yep, Swansea Searcher says On. Brad says On. And they're a fairly new brand. They're like Swiss made, the On Clouds. But I will tell you, and my daughter, who is a nurse and on her feet for 12 hours a day, every, you know, when she's on shift, they she swears about her Onns, and they're not cheap. I mean, a pair of Onns is probably anywhere from, you know, like 129 to 199.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're not cheap, and they're designed to be running shoes, and different models are more designed for running than other things. But so the ones I get are kind of, you know, you could run in them, but they're not necessarily running shoes. They're kind of good for every day too. Some of them you can look at them and be like, you know, they're curved and you can tell they're just strictly running shoe. So they're expensive, but my feet love them. So,
right.
A lot of people. Yeah. Megan says Crocs. I've had Brooks. Brooks are pretty good. David, shout out to David Picciano. Saucony. I've never tried Saucony. I've never tried King sandals. I've heard good things about King sandals. I love my Hey Dudes. I cannot wear them all day. They don't offer enough support. Now, if I go, like, if I'm in the parks all day and I'm wearing my tennis shoes and I go back to the room and then go to Epcot or like Springs in the evening, I'll kick the tennis shoes off and put my Hey Dudes on. But they're just kind of flat. They're very comfortable, but they're just kind of flat. They just don't give me the support I need.
Yeah, and that changes. I've definitely found that over the years, different types of shoes definitely don't survive. Skechers are definitely the lightest shoes I've ever had.
You know, but part of that, and I have one of my pair of On, my On Cloud X's are very, very light.
Well, with a name like that, it's got to be light, right?
But they're not as squishy as my regular On Clouds. Like, they're a little firmer. You could tell they're designed a little more for running than just walking.
Right.
I would say also some of those lighter shoes probably don't last as long because the material they're made of, it's designed, you know, it's lighter and softer. So they wear a little bit different.
Hey Dudes. That's a great name.
I love my Hey Dudes. I've got two or three pair.
Right.
And they are fantastic. They're very, very comfortable. Like, next Thursday I leave to go on the cruise. And when I'm on the cruise ship, I probably will wear flip-flops or Hey Dudes the whole time. Mm-hmm. They're just very casual and very, very comfortable.
Right. And it's kind of funny, Jimmy's bringing up the shoe thing, because we just got back from our trip. And I made the mistake of actually looking at my watch as far as how many steps and things like that. And we calculated for 4 days, 5 days, whatever it was, we put in over 40 miles. And that's crazy to do, but you really don't think about it. And from your walking from your hotel room to get to the bus, from the bus stops at the different parks, you're still walking like almost a half mile, to get to the park. So you do put in a lot of steps. So it's important what you put on your feet, or else you're definitely going to have some pains.
I had mentioned this earlier, David, and I agree. Rotating them, just changing them out, not wearing the same shoes. I try not to wear the same ones 2 days in a row. I usually bring like three pairs of shoes with me, and I try and just do a different one every day. Hey, Bill Garrity from the Airbnb podcast. I also want to give David a shout out with Now That's Disney.
Oh, awesome. Hey, guys.
Matter of fact, David had messaged me earlier, wanting one of us to go on the podcast with him. Kim was here, I think, the last time me and you were on together, Ed. Mm-hmm. They do their show on Saturday night, so it's a little tough for me because I'm usually not available on Saturday night. But I told him maybe we could get you.
Yeah, definitely. Hit or miss. Saturdays are usually not that bad. Now, 10 years later, Jimmy will have time. Don't worry.
Well, maybe. Maybe.
Yep. Yeah, that's – yeah, exactly.
17,000 to 25,000 per day. Yep.
And you really don't realize it at all. Well, except for like that one or two times you just have to sit down.
I thought we did pretty good on the trip we were there because it was hot. But I thought having a lunch reservation every day, although not cheap, but I thought it worked out well to have that little break in the AC and the little sit down in the middle of the day. I mean, you don't have to have a reservation for that. You can do a quick service. I feel like you're more likely to dedicate a little time when you do the sit down meal. You know,
sure.
As opposed to, it's a little more of an experience than just grabbing a bite to eat. Probably not terribly expensive for you, Ed, because you were there alone. And I think me and Caitlin, for the most part, did it correctly. Like at Yak and Yeti, we shared an appetizer and then shared an entree. Sure.
When you can, definitely.
Yeah, so that helped. And it was still plenty of food. Not that you want to eat a ton when it's that right. hot.
Although you just brought a point up about how Disney might be just kind of getting rid of our type of dining, if that's the case, because the other two restaurants we ate at were set price meals. So you paid that one price to get what was on the menu, and you didn't really have a choice to pick or choose. Because that's the Skipper Canteen's that first meal. Yeah, I did, I think, just appetizers for that meal. So, yeah, you can pick and choose.
I don't think they're eliminating. I mean, they've always had family-style places. So the barbecue place, me and Ed and my cousin Mark and my daughter get to do Woody's Roundup Rodeo, the new barbecue place over in Toy Story Land. I thought it was very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I really had a good time.
It was really good. It was a lot of fun. The food was really good. It's all you can eat, all you care to eat. Mm-hmm. Seems like they push chicken on you.
I don't know if that was just the meal we got, but yeah. But you can ask for anything else, and you can ask specifically just brisket, just the sausage or whatever, or a combination of that. The sides were great to be able to choose from, although I almost wish I could have chosen majority of the sides instead of just like the four out of the eight.
You know, what's interesting is maybe we're a weird group too, that we all dove into the brisket and the ribs and all that stuff too. I bet if you polled most of the people in the place, I bet the chicken goes over. Probably there's probably more people more used to the chicken than the other things is what I was thinking.
Right. Oh yeah. Well, chicken's always safe. So
yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Sounded good, but theme. What do you mean, Brad? Oh, was the Woody barbecue too? No, not at all. Actually, I had the best time waiting for the next announcement to come up. Ham was the big guy on the microphone, and he would come up and do the different announcements and such like that. And yeah, no, I couldn't wait for the next one. I had a blast.
It was. Do you have the audio maybe where you could play it in the? I do.
Unfortunately, I can't play it. However, Jimmy will play it, and it's on this week's podcast too. I just released 495. And the last couple minutes of the podcast, I put the kind of cut that Jimmy's going to do right now, which is the best. It was so amazing how just this worked out well.
This isn't going to sound great. Hey, I'm going to play it on my phone into the microphone, so it's not going to be perfect. But you guys will get the gist of it.
That was awesome. That was the best part is how everybody just went so quiet. Everybody, adult.
Kids were walking by like to and from the bathroom. And when that came on, they would just freeze because the idea is Andy's coming. And so you got to be quiet and you can't move. But nobody tells you that you have to do this.
No, just everybody, just on the announcements.
Everybody in the whole place knows what to do. And literally you could hear it on there that everybody just stops talking and just freezes. And it must have happened two or three times, probably.
I would say, we were there about an hour and a half, and we probably got that three times. There's probably about maybe six, seven announcements total that they kind of cycle through, which that's just the way it is. Great camaraderie. Yeah, definitely. That everybody was in on that joke, and that was so cool because everybody's seen Toy Story.
What's up, Adi?
Hey,
how are
John.
You, buddy?
Adi. So used to seeing your wife's name.
No, he's on. Well, he's not on Facebook. So when he's on, he uses her Facebook. But watching over on the YouTube, that's awesome. Bill says they had We had a waiter freeze while carrying a chair. And those chairs are heavy as hell. I was watching one of the waiters move chairs around, and they were dragging them on the floor because those chairs are like, they're heavy duty. They're heavy chairs.
Mm-hmm. Brad's following us around.
Brad is following us around. So before we went to the barbecue place, we went and had a drink and it just so happened we decided to do barbecue after we had already had the reservation for Oga's. But like you said, Oga's is not really food. It's really just drinks.
Right. And we were there for kind of technically breakfast, and we both got Bloody Rancor. So that kind of worked into the whole routine. Bloody Marys.
Yeah. So me and you got the Bloody Rancors, and my daughter Caitlin got the Bespin Fizz, which is actually very delicious. Kim had gotten that before, and it's very delicious. And it's cool because of the glass they put it in has a little chamber at the bottom that they put some dry ice in. So the whole time that when they bring you the drink and the whole time you have it, it's kind of bubbling and smoking. And so it's really cool. And it keeps the drink cold too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the drinks were fun. And what Brad's referring to, 45 minutes is enough. You get your reservation and you only have 45 minutes to get in there, order what you're going to get, and then you're going to be skedaddled out. I don't know how they do that. I've never seen it, or I haven't had it happen. But that's the 45 minutes.
Yeah, we didn't even stay for 45 minutes, I don't think.
Well, no, we had a lot of stuff to do that day, so.
We did. But I'm just saying, like, it's plenty of time just to go in there, kind of get a feel for the vibe and the atmosphere, grab a drink, and leave. You don't really – there is food there, but it's all, like snacks. It's, right. Like, light snacks. Right. So there's nothing – there's really 45 minutes, and that's what – and, you know, that's what Brett's saying. 45 minutes is plenty.
All right, and I was there for the second time now, so it was still eye candy as far as just seeing everything and being able to kind of look around. And so I'm kind of done with that. So we'll have to see the next time we do get it, or at least I get back in there. But
one of the we've discussed this before, but one of the reasons I wanted to go there, not only, but again, me too, it was only the second time I'd been there, and Caitlin had never been there. But then our buddy Les, who we've been knowing since. Les was a bartender at All Star Movies years ago when my kids were growing up. I mean, he literally has watched my kids grow up over the years. And then when they opened up that, he applied and left All Star Movies. He's a big Star Wars geek too, so it was a big. He was very happy to do it. And he only works weekdays. He doesn't work evenings and he doesn't work nights. He's been with Disney for like 20 years. So he gets kind of seniority on scheduling and stuff like that. So that was another reason I had set that, was in hopes that we'd get to see him, and we did. We get mm-hmm. to, he came from he. We, they sat us not by the bar, like we had a waiter, and we were like in this little cubby. But I saw Les and kind of shouted at him, and he came around the bar and came chat with us for a little bit, and then came back around before we left just to say goodbye. And so that was cool.
Right. And then something that Jimmy just mentioned made me think about it. I didn't realize there's so much stand-up seating in the restaurant. I'd say like it's 75% of going into Oga's, you're going to stand up at a table that's kind of, you know, chest high or waist high, whatever, or around the outside of it. And you're standing up right next to other people. So you'll probably share, if you're on one of the tables that are the high-rise tables, I guess, you're going to share it with two or three other groups. Which is fine. Everybody's there to have a good time, but just to realize that we didn't realize that the first time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there are some seats in there, and I think it's just random on if you get a table with some seats, or if you're at a high top or a little cubby, like we were in like a little hole in the wall, with a little shelf space. And they ended up putting people on both sides of us. So it was, I wouldn't say it was crammed. I mean, you have enough room, but it's, you know, there will be people close to you. Yes. All right, Brad's question: Remy or Runaway Railroad?
Runaway Railroad.
Yeah, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad.
Oh yeah, well that's an easy one. That's almost an insult. I'm sorry, Remy. Of course. Unless you're motion sickness, then you might have issues.
Well, they're the same ride vehicle, and they do a lot of the same things.
Yeah, you're right about that. Definitely Remy.
I don't know. I'm on the fence.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
I'm not With that being said, like, it's not necessarily neither one of them is necessarily like a must do for me. Kim had asked if anything new on this trip. The one thing I did that was new, we get to ride Tron twice.
The barbecue.
And then for Caitlin, who hadn't been in a couple of years, Tron, Remy, she had never done Frozen, and then also Guardians.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which we did Guardians a couple times. Still fun. I mean, still wondering why it's on virtual, but still a good ride. Awesome ride.
Maria says she gets motion sick very easily and did enjoy that sort of concentrate. I think with Remy, I think they do a good job of taking you like in front of a video screen and
like
bringing you to the point where you're almost about to get motion sick, but then they back you out of it and put you back kind of in the real world to kind of settle that down a little bit.
And that's easier to close your eyes and kind of lose the feeling because it is a camera. It's a screen in front of you. So
very good point.
Not as easy on Guardians.
Guardians, you know, we were talking about that and I don't remember who told us that, but they said, pin your head back. Oh, I think Les told us that. Yeah. Don't be looking around side to side while you're riding it. Just pin your head back, hold your head straight, and kind of watch what the ride brings you. And you'll get less motion sick.
Brad's definitely following us around, by the way.
The smell of fresh bread is a highlight of mine. I mean, me and Kim live in New Orleans, so just about any grocery store you go into here cooks fresh French bread. So that smell is just so familiar to me and us. I mean, so smelling it there is definitely like a delight.
Right. Remy, I always think sensory-wise when the oven goes on above your head.
That's cool, too. That's another cool. Tron was cool. Ed thinks it's too short. Me and Caitlin thought, look, it's about what we wanted out of it. Like, I don't know. I was fine. I was fine with the ending.
I guess let me rephrase that in that they could have Tron'd up the ride a lot more. The whole entryway, once you get up on top of the platform to get into the virtual queue line, could have been much more Tron'd up. You could have been doing – I mean – I'm trying to relate it to Guardians, where Guardians seem to be so immersive. Rise of Resistance is so immersive. Tron didn't seem too immersive. And I'm not sure if it's because it's outside a lot of it before you get in there. And I'm not sure yet. I still have to kind of think that one through, but we'll see.
Hate the dance scene in M2. Explain that one better, Swansea. I'm not sure what we're talking about. The dance scene.
Right. Guardians is better than Tron at this point, sure.
So my list of attractions at Disney now go Guardians, probably Tron, Rise of the Resistance, Flight of Passage. For thrilling rides. I mean, obviously my ultimate favorite that has my heart would be the Haunted Mansion, which I'm going to see Thursday night at 6 o'clock. Very excited about that. Actually, me and look who's joined in is Caitlin, my daughter, who was with us on this trip. Me and Kim, Caitlin and her fiance, my son Wyatt, his girlfriend, and my mom are all going to see Haunted Mansion Thursday night. So it's a big – we got a whole group of us, and I'm very excited.
It looks good. I hope it is.
They definitely could do more in the queue with Tron, for sure.
Put fans. How about that? Let's start with that.
Fans would be –
forget anything else. Let's just – because Disneyland has got a couple outside lines that are very well either protected or very cooled down. But they do have to do something with that up top there. But again, it's Tron. I love Tron. I love the whole, you know, set of movies, the cartoon, everything. There's some really cool stuff in the store outside there too. But mine actually still goes Flight of the Avatar, Flight of Passage. I would say probably Rise next, then Guardians, then Tron, if I got to do it like that. Not counting, of course, the classics, but, you know.
I can't believe you put Flight of Passage. I can't believe you put Flight of Passage above.
I really enjoy Flight of Passage. I hate getting off of that. When the thing starts blinking and the spots start coming in and it starts to end, you know, at the end, boom, that stinks. I hate that. Not, you know, I don't feel like that getting off any other ride. So,
you know, what's interesting is I almost feel like you have to throw Rise of the Resistance out of the competition.
Because it's a lot of different type of rides. It's not really
a ride. Well, it's just more of a whole experience. It's not. It's very hard to compare Rise of the Resistance to those other things because it's just way, way, way different.
Right. What do you guys think? Like, help us out with this one as far as the top couple, I guess, immersive all experience rides that they got at Disney now.
Haunted Mansion.
What are we missing? Well, again, Haunted Mansion, put that in the classic category because I would say Pirates if I'm going to say anything like that.
Sure. Nostalgia. A lot of nostalgia. Sure. Absolutely.
Sure. And we can have that conversation all night too.
Since Brad's following us around, Brad, we ate at Space 220 while we were there.
Yeah, good meal. I ate there in June also, so it was good to kind of compare, although I kind of think I ate the same exact thing. We could have had a better seat. If I had any complaint whatsoever, we could have had a better seat.
I would say if you were going to Coral Reef, which is the only thing I could have to like kind of compare Space 220, mm-hmm. at Coral Reef, you would want a table next to the tank. I would say at Space 220, you don't want one next to the space portals. You're better off having one further back that you kind of get a more broad view.
Well, you get to see more than just your window is what you get to see.
Yeah, which not a lot happened in our every now and then stuff happened in our window, but we were right on the window. The food, right. In my opinion, the food was very good.
The food was awesome. Just being able to eat in the middle of the heat, coming in and like cooling down to have a great meal.
And it's awesome. Beautiful. I mean, the restaurant's pristine. I mean, it's beautiful. It's very well done. I mean, you take the space thing, even just the port views out of it, it's still just a very nice restaurant. So we're kind of nitpicking a little bit.
But they still need a hook. They still
need the hook. Yeah. So good.
I was going to say, I just want to, they have a lot less animations now than they did when they opened. Because we were lucky enough to go a month or two after they opened originally. And there was so much traffic going on in each window. Really, I couldn't remember eating as much as I remember watching everything going on. There was many, many ships always launching. Then there were just the characters going around. Now it seems like between the last two trips, it's just lighter, which, again, it's still fun. It's just a little bit lighter.
Yes, George, you're on an island on that one.
Yeah. Have fun.
Although I do like it. I like to ride it, but it's not the
I've only ridden it once. I'm very happy that I did it once.
I've done it multiple times. I had the calamari at Space 220, and then I had the seared tuna, and both were very, very good.
Mm-hmm. When you schedule – I was going to say, because he's talked about the bar. When you schedule or try to get a reservation, it's two separate things, guys. You got the Space 220, and you also schedule for the Space 220 lounge. I did find that out. I'm sorry. I cut you off about the calamari. I didn't want to do that.
You're fine. You could. The calamari had two different sauces that it came with. One was like a creamier sauce. One was a spicy marinara. That was really good.
Tell them about – I was telling Jimmy, my wife had a great suggestion when we went there in June. Space 220 has a menu. You have to choose the appetizer and then the entree. And you can buy dessert if you want and you buy your drinks. Now, Leslie's suggestion was basically make that optional. Either choose the app or choose the dessert as far as being able to like kind of pick, because one of us didn't really like all the appetizers they offered and kind of settled for something, but would have definitely gotten a dessert and just didn't want to pay for it after they already paid the 57 or whatever it was.
Well, you know, it's another great idea about that. See, it's just you and your wife. You get the appetizer, she gets the dessert, and you split both of them, and you each get your own entree. Mm-hmm. So that's
Yep. I got the beef appetizer and I got the chicken entree, and again, very, very good. Really, really, really good. Finished it.
Caitlin got, my daughter got the hanger steak, and I don't remember what Mark got for the, oh, they both got Caesar salads, but Caitlin got the hanger steak and Mark got the burger. I was going to get the hanger steak, but I didn't want to get the same thing Caitlin got. I wanted us to get something different. So I got the tuna, which was good, but I kind of wish I'd have got the steak.
And David brought up a point. Go back to that other one. I didn't realize there was a different menu up in the lounge. I assumed it was kind of like the 50s prime time, or not, yeah, 50s, where you eat at the lounge, you have the same exact menu as you do in the dining room. That's interesting. I would have seen how I could have gotten that lobster roll sitting at the table. That would have been interesting to try.
If you requested it, they probably would have let you have it.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, so let me ask you this. David, if you know, George, it sounds like George has been to the bar, to the lounge. Is the bar prefix too, or does the bar, you just order drink and you just can order like a la carte stuff off the menu?
Gonna have to find out. Excuse me. And so then Brad brought up the price. That's a dinner price. The lunch, I think, was 57 or 56.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what the child was for lunch. And it's relatively, I think it was the same menu. It was very, very close. I didn't see that much difference.
So bar has the regular menu. Or is it prefix, George? You have to get a dessert. I mean, do you have to get an appetizer and an entree? Or is it you just pick what you want?
David says maybe different items.
Caitlin's all bothered by the and I've seen this not just at Disney. I've seen this other places that when you get a Caesar salad, sometimes they leave the lettuce like as a clump. You know, they did. You got to kind of cut it up yourself. Nicole, no worries. Glad you're here. Go Braves.
Who won?
I don't know who was. I don't know.
I'm asking Nicole.
Philly. Did the Phillies win? Let's hope not, because they're in the same division as the Braves.
Yeah, Braves are way ahead, or they were last I looked.
Yeah, they're leading. Yeah, I think they're leading everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so we can.
So where do we go next, Brad? What's the next thing?
Brad followed us, so he knows where we went. Yeah, the lounge has completely different items, not prefix.
Cool. That's great.
So you
know.
Can go to – yeah, that's good to know.
Nice. That's the way we want to do it, Nicole.
Don't listen to him, Nicole. He's a Philly transplant. He's from Jersey.
Yeah. You wear a NASA suit, you can buy from Mission Space, you get 10% discount. For the lounge? Really? No. Be interesting, though. Speaking of NASA, just real quick, an aside, I saw them do the launch 2 days ago down at the beach. It was 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock at night. It was great because it was really dark and you could see it go up. Tomorrow night they're doing what's the big rocket? Something 9. And so I'm looking forward to that one too.
You lost me. You're speaking Chris Hiller speak to me now.
Oh, there's a reason for it. Very cool to see a rocket launch down here.
Speaking of Phillies fans.
Falcon 9, thanks, Brad.
Where is Chris Hiller?
He's celebrating the win.
Speaking of Phillies fans.
He's celebrating the win.
And Nicole's from Alabama. She's not even been to Philly.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's tough for states without a baseball team. So
why I'm a Braves fan. I mean, I'm in New Orleans. We don't have a baseball league. So I
you
just
do,
watch. Yeah. I just watch. No, you don't have to. There's a wait.
That's true. That's true.
There's a standby for the bar. They will not let you stand by for the restaurant, though, which is interesting.
Okay. Didn't know.
So the bar, you can just go there and wait outside and wait for a spot to clear.
Cool. Did not know that. So the other place we sat down ate was Yak and Yeti. And it was really cool because we got to see the Power of the Landry card. We recommend everybody go ahead and sign up for one if you have a Landry
card. No, we don't. No.
Nobody should sign up for the Landry card.
Don't get the Landry's card. It's terrible. It's a terrible, terrible investment.
I didn't think it would affect anything if some of our friends got one too. So,
no, I'm kidding. Just you guys. Don't tell anybody else about it. Tell them our experience.
Oh, so we were at Animal Kingdom. And it was about 12 o'clock, 12:15, and we wanted to get something to eat. We figured now's the time to do it. And we walked into the restaurant. Jimmy talked to the girl there, gave her his card, and everybody's waiting around for their tables. And I had done Yak and Yeti in June also, and we just did the natural regular reservation. We got there. They sign you in, and then you wait like 5, 10, 15 minutes, still waiting for the girl to come out with the slip calling your name. Well, it was funny because as the lady was handing the card back to Jimmy, the slip was already printing out, and the waitress grabbed the slip and said, "Jimmy Horn, party for Jimmy Horn," and we walked right in. I definitely recommend it. That's definitely something that's worth the while. You do get discounts on food. You get 25 for signing up, $25, which gets applied to the first time you go to the restaurant. And I got $25 for my birthday. So I apologize for talking about this again. We talked about this before.
Well, no, I think it's a great point. I bring it up often. Our friend Liz and her daughter were with us, and she had a card. She didn't even have her card on her. They looked it up, and she had a 20. She ended up not having a bill because
she got
a little something for her and her daughter that they split. And he brought her bill back. She's like, "Oh, I had a credit. And so it didn't cost me anything."
And it was literally zero. And it was funny because you have one of those problems you never really think to ever have before, because she was going to use card anyway to pay for it. And she had no cash to give a tip. So she kind of got flummoxed, and they worked out something where they charged her for something for a nickel and let her basically tip on that.
Oh, she felt terrible. She's like, "I don't have any cash." Yeah. Like,
and actually not a lot of us have cash. I don't have a lot of cash when I'm in the parks. Usually it's the card and I'll tip on the card.
Sure. I mean, I didn't think about it until after. I'm like, I could have just tipped extra on mine. You know, the difference, tipped extra on mine and let her Venmo me or whatever. And it would have been fine.
Right.
What did you get there?
At Yak and Yeti? I did the appetizers again. I did wonton soup and steamed dumplings.
It was 108 degrees outside, and Ed got a soup.
Oh, it was great. You just can't realize how great their wonton soup is. And I don't think the heat matters that much. I mean, crap, there's people drinking coffee after dinner.
No. I was kidding. I'm kidding.
But it's got all that salt and like all that stuff that's being sweated out of me. So it's nice.
Caitlin and I got the,
you got the nachos, the big covered pile, whatever that was.
The ahi tuna nachos. Kim mentioned it up here, the tuna nachos. It is amazing.
I think they got the noodles.
The ahi tuna nachos are just, they're like nachos, but it's cut up pieces of raw tuna. With spicy mayo and some vegetables, like some green vegetables. But the chips are wonton chips. They're not tortilla chips. It is delicious. It was so good. Me and Kim get it every time. Caitlin really wanted the calamari.
Excuse me.
I let her pick the entree. So I'm like, well, if you're picking the entree, I'm getting the nachos. Mm-hmm. So we got that, and we got the Mongolian beef, and we kind of split it between the two of us, and it was really, really good. Every time we go there, the food is good. So, interesting enough, two of the restaurants we've talked about so far, Yak and Yeti and Space 220, are not Disney restaurants.
Right.
So, Yak and Yeti is a Landry's restaurant, as we mentioned. So, you can use your Landry's card there. And Space 220 is a Patina Group restaurant, which also runs Maria and Enzo's and Via Napoli and Tutto Italia and some of the other restaurants around Walt Disney World. So, I would also say that most of the Patina Group restaurants are pretty good. I wouldn't in Disney World. I don't think that highly of the other Landry's restaurants. Like, I think T-Rex and Rainforest are okay.
Well, I don't want to say tourist restaurants, but they're made to be looked at a lot more than they are to, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of like, the food's kind of like a TGI Fridays or a Chili's or something like that.
And not saying that there's a lot. I mean, there's some really nice steak places on the Landry's card near where I live at home in Philly. However, the one restaurant we did go to up in Daytona that I was very kind of shocked, and I know you guys are going to laugh at me, but was the Bubba Gump Shrimp Factory. I thought it was a little bit more high class than it was.
Oh, no.
I found out. I totally found out. Had a good time there. It was okay for what it was, exactly what it was. It was great. And it was a Landry restaurant on top of that. So I think that almost reinforced that it was probably a little bit better than it actually was.
We've eaten the one at Universal. So there's a Bubba Gump at Universal, and we've eaten that. We ate there when we were there earlier this year. And it's fine. It's nothing special. But with that being said, you know, here in New Orleans, we have a Landry Seafood, which is a little bit nicer, and a Saltgrass Steakhouse, which is their Landry Steakhouse. So right. they have restaurants that are nicer, and they have some that are.
And all the ones I noticed were the nice ones. So again, I thought,
yeah,
there's like Gump was up there along, like, you know, how to be that good. So
I think Morton's is a Landry restaurant, which is a
that's one nice of the steak places by us.
That's a nicer steak place. It's not a.
And I tell you what, the Rainforest was a great place to take the kids because you didn't have to keep them occupied for the entire meal to make sure everybody was like hanging in there, you know, not freaking out, crying, bored, whatever the issue was. There was so much going on all the time, so it was good.
I would also say that the portions there are huge. Like if you got like a bowl of pasta there, it's gigantic. Like you could definitely split meals at like Rainforest or T-Rex because the port. Me and Caitlin actually got food from there. One night we was at Springs and we were walking back to the room. We just stopped at the bar at Rainforest and grabbed some food to go to take back to the room, and it's fine. Right. I don't think it's bad or low quality. It's just, you know, not. Like Yak and Yeti is so good.
Right.
You know, and
Swanji brought up a great point that I didn't really pay attention to. Landry's, that's the same guy as the Spices. It's the same company. That's pretty cool if that's the case.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting. We have a Landry Seafood, but I think there's two actually in New Orleans, but there's one that the only one I've been to,
of course,
is right on Lake Pontchartrain in New Orleans, and it's fantastic. It's fairly nice, but really, really good food. Yeah, and when we went to, me and Kim went to Universal right when it opened up in 2020, like June of 2020, and one of the only places that was really open on City Walk was Bubba Gump, and that was the first time we had eaten there. It was pretty good. And then we just ate there again in this last trip. So, but yeah, you're right. Like I said, I mean, it's not designed to be fancy for sure.
I got my shaker mug, my shaker glass. That was pretty cool in that regard.
Did you? You didn't get one at Rainforest.
I actually used my daughter at the at Bubba Gum. She, what her drink was there.
You got the drink. You kept the shaker mug.
One of my, and guys, you can comment on this too. One of my collecting weirdnesses is I collect cups or mugs or whatever from the different restaurants and places whenever they offer different like kind of things. And I almost bought the Buddha cup at Yak and Yeti the second time I was there because they're right over the bar and I was like looking at them the whole time.
Oh, you totally got it.
But I got the cup that lights up at the bottom for Yak and Yeti last time I was there. So I have that now for the shelf.
You should make it a point to start collecting the cups from Trader Sam's.
Don't get there enough?
Yeah. Well, make it a point. Like, make it a point during your trips to go pass over there, get one drink, and get, you know, take it. Because every drink, one comes in a black pearl, but they're all, like, nice porcelain. They're not.
Oh, no. They're really expensive glasses.
Yeah. They're really nice. I've got.
I really wanted one. I could print it, so I'm good with that.
I've got one of the shrunken heads, and I've got another one that's, like, the. Get the lava overflowing.
I'll print you a half 50% size version of it, of whatever one you want. Just let me know.
Oh, that's cool.
That's unfortunately buying a lot of the stuff at Disney World that are either statues or like little, you know, crappy pieces of stuff. I could print a lot of that now. So unfortunately, I'm not buying a lot. I did pick up two plants this year at Epcot, Living with the Land, because, the first one I got was a dragon fruit because we had done one and it lasted for like 5 or 6 years. I wanted to try to do that better this time. And the second one I got the second time we went through there because it was a the fly trap.
Venus fly trap.
Right. And I've never seen that there before. So I just couldn't pass on that. And with the AP discount, it's worth it.
So we almost killed one. Not a Venus flytrap, but I think ours was like Colia.
Mm-hmm. It's not easy to do, but
we didn't even take it out of the thing though. Like we just waited too long. I just potted it though. I think it's going to be okay because it's starting to spring back up. We just potted it, but like it was running out of, like it was doing really well, and then it started running low on the little gel.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it ate through it.
Yeah, and it started not looking so great. So, but we just potted it the other night, like 2 or 3 nights ago. And so when you first pot it, you got to put like a bag over it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. There's different rules for different plants.
Yeah. So you want to keep the humidity up, and then eventually you want to poke holes in it and let it adjust. And then eventually you can remove it. So we put it on there and it's starting, I got it on the windowsill and it's starting to sprout back up. So I think it's going to be okay now that it's back and now it's in some soil with some food and water.
Yeah. Nice. Very cool. Good luck with it. Brandon is your collector there for the Trader Sam's.
Yeah, George said he's got several.
Oh, George too.
Which doesn't surprise me about George. Really surprise me about Brandon either.
They have those pseudo tiki mugs out there with a lot of the Star Wars characters I've seen.
Oh, you can, yeah.
Haven't eaten at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Sorry, Swansea, on that one. Anybody else? Help them out.
I ate breakfast at Boma. I don't know if that counts. There was some different stuff there, but most of it's just regular. regular.
Breakfast.
And then David also asked if any of us have eaten at Tiffin's. I have not. I've heard really good things about
a Tiffin's. Long time, a couple months after it opened. It's got a good menu then. It had a great menu then. I think it still probably does now. It was nice to stop for a drink and an appetizer and then just to move on. So it's not bad in that regard.
I've never been there either. I've never been to Nomad Lounge, which is the lounge outside of Tiffin's.
We have to talk about crowds. We don't have to wait this second, but before we get done.
Okay.
Trying to see where we are. First trip to Animal Kingdom Lodge. Anybody? Okay. Lanterns?
Oh, Swansea Surger, if you do it. Yeah, if you do an...
Well, the lobby restaurant's supposed to be great.
Well, so if you're in Kidani Village, it's worth going over to Sana'a and just doing the bread service. And like we had the appetizer, so we just had bread service and the lamb chops, which was really good. Jiko is supposed to be really, really good. I've never been, but it's supposed to be really, really good. Some of our friends, Ian and Michelle, will travel, like even not staying in Animal Kingdom Lodge, will make the trek over to Animal Kingdom Lodge to go eat at Jiko.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Okay, so Brad brought up a good question. Your Magic Kingdom, what's your final ride? Weather is ominous, but not an issue. So I'm not sure if weather is an issue at all in that issue then. I like night rides. I like to do the outside ones like
Thunder Mountain.
Right. That's always a fun one at night because your eyes never change. So you get to see everything.
Splash
Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion at night's not bad either though. So it's kind of almost the same thing. So those nighttime rides are awesome.
You definitely see so much more like Haunted Mansion when you go at night because your eyes are just so adjusted to see everything.
Right. I can even do a people mover day in the night too, I think. And also going inside and outside with the people mover, again, back to the whole eye adjustment thing.
I agree. I think Big Thunder Mountain Railroad is almost a different attraction at night than it is during the day. Like it's good.
Much so.
Right. Yeah, it's very different.
I would have also said Splash.
I was about to say Splash too.
Because when you come out, go down the hill and you come out the mountain, you have such a great frame of everything. And if you luck out to ever had the fireworks going off in front of you, you'll never forget it. Seven Dwarfs. I don't know. I'm having a hard time with Seven Dwarfs at any time nowadays. Although if I'm there and the line's not big, I don't think it would be bad to take that last ride there. I don't think you see a lot of the sky as you're going through. Oh, I take that back, actually. Yeah, you would be able to see so much more, especially in the Snow White at the end looking at her house.
Yeah.
Because we saw it in the daytime and the sun's reflected off the windows. Something awful.
And you get, I mean, you probably get some good views of the Beast Castle and stuff like that that you see during the day, but you probably at night, you know, be much nicer. I agree, David. Ed brought that up. People move at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. Audience, right with it.
Yeah, there you go.
See, now Dumbo's another one where you're outside, so I can understand that too. Especially if it's a beautiful night, if it's in the fireworks even. Because you'll be seeing the big sky fireworks will be behind you over there by Dumbo. And the castle fireworks will be, you have to turn around. That's a must-do, Brad. I'm actually, one of my last trips there for the summer is I'm going to be getting there like, you know, mid-morning, early afternoon to stay late. So, tried the train, got to do the train all the way around the Magic Kingdom. Want to do a monorail ride to Epcot and back. Still have a couple of things left to do.
I've still not ridden the train since it opened back up.
That's something with Kim.
And totally missed riding People Mover when we were there.
Didn't get on the People Mover?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I went on with Chris and his family. That's why I thought that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Enterprise. You know, nothing's really changed that much drastically.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's something I usually do.
It's tradition. You know? Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
It's something I usually hop up there and just go ride around.
It's usually the same time of day when Carousel of Progress. You know, it's that day, part of the day where the lines are just out of control a little bit.
Yeah, you just want to go relax.
Calming down. You need to sit down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Perfect.
Let's talk crowds.
So, okay, here's my indicator of the crowd. In the parks, there was times it did not seem there were light crowds. During the busy part of the day, from like 11 o'clock to 4 o'clock, it was as busy as it always is. So I don't see that. However, flying over the parking lots in the Skyliner, they were very empty compared to what I'm used to seeing. During the daytime, everybody's on the buses and the transportation, and they are at the parks. And the parking lots are the fullest, usually, at that point. And I had a lot of rooms around me at Pop that were empty. Like two rooms to my left, two rooms to my right were empty. And I was in one of the 50s buildings that wasn't really far away from everything. I actually had a great room this time, just randomly, I got it. And very close to the main lobby and still not far away from the Skyliner either. But, you know, at times it's still crowded as you would normally see crowded. So I'm not sure how that kind of evens out.
I felt like it was lower than normal. I don't feel like it was low crowds. Like I've been in September when the crowds were low. Right. Like you could almost walk on, Haunted Mansion would be 13 minutes and you pretty much just walked on. It wasn't that low. There were lines. Even for the not great attractions, there were lines. There was lines for People Mover when we were there.
Oh, sure. Sure. And the lines were kind of like they were moving, but you still had the 75 minutes for Seven Dwarfs, or you still had Peter Pan, which was ridiculous. So you still had those huge wait times. It's almost like touring plans when they tell you the park's going to be like a 3 and you still go to the park and the lines are still 70 minutes, 80 minutes. It kind of doesn't equate out when you think about crowds versus lines.
Well, because it's minutely different. Like it doesn't matter. I think when it's really crowded, you just have less people in lines and more people, like they're just more crowds. But the lines right. are always there.
I think it might have been the heat more than anything, though. Here's another indicator. In June, I had a tough time 60 days out getting any reservations for restaurants. I had a fight and I used touring plans and I did a lot of different things to try to get them. Jimmy at 60 days out for July had no problems whatsoever getting any of our reservations for food.
Yeah, at one point I had a reservation for Space 220 each day for lunch because I didn't know which day we were going to be in Epcot. So and right. I only held them for like till I could speak to you because I had woke up and set the reservations. And then once I spoke to you and figured out, hey, this is the day we're going to do these parks, then I let the other ones go. But Yeah, I had reservation 3 days in a row because I didn't know which day we were going to be at Epcot. So I wanted to make sure we got it.
Well, so now another indicator crowd-wise, we were on the behind-the-scenes tour, which we didn't talk about a lot tonight. We'll probably talk about another show. And boats were coming through empty at about 3 in the afternoon, 4 in the afternoon at Epcot. No, actually, we started the tour at 2:30, so it was like exactly 3 o'clock, 3:15. Empty boats. So
thanks, Nicole.
Granted, Living with the Land isn't the best ride, and there's not usually a big line, but there's always full boats going through it.
When you're there and it's busy, there's still a 15, 20, 30 minute wait for Living with the Land.
And you know, you're not going to get 70 busy all the time.
Yeah, you're not going to get 70, but you're going to still normally see 20, 30 minute wait for Living with the Land. Yeah, so.
David, slow seasons, I got to think still September when school starts, it's got to be the slow time. I'm still kind of counting on between Thanksgiving and Christmas for 1 or 2 weeks. Maybe not as much as before. And January, once everybody goes back for the spring semester, then boom, that's another good 2 weeks. You probably have 3 weeks to go. Jimmy's been experimenting with all of these times. He'll be going in September to see about that one. So,
according to the Touring Plans crowd calendar, September is going to be fairly light for Kim and I. So,
good.
I'm kind of excited about that.
And Caitlin brought up the rain. It did rain not a ton for the July trip, but it did rain once or twice during the day. We lucked out a couple of times where it rained while we were inside. I think Space 220, a full storm came through, and we came outside, and it was just starting to dry up. But the rain definitely, forced people inside and emptied out the parks. Unfortunately, our meetup on Saturday night at Epcot, major rainstorms coming up to getting to the parks for the meetup, 5 and 6 o'clock. And I'm done with Pop Century, I think, too, not knowing when the Skyliner is going to run and not run. The app doesn't work. It doesn't tell you when the Skyliner is down. The front desk doesn't know. And the boards at the buses don't update either. So we're really on our own. The advice I was given when I asked the concierge was go to the bus stop and wait 20 minutes. And if the bus doesn't come, go see if the Skyliner is running.
It's terrible advice.
So I think I'd rather stay at the All-Star and then just know if it's the bus. Just count on the bus.
So, but let me ask you this. Does your opinion change based upon the season? Like, if you're not there during the summer, say it's November, and, you know, you don't have those storms every day in November, so it's less likely that it's going to be down.
And I have more to go on. One of the mornings I was getting up to go, it was either our Epcot Day or Hollywood Studios, obviously. And I walked out, not a cloud in the sky. And I'm like, didn't even check the app, didn't check the weather. I'm like walking right to the Skyliner. It was stopped. It was down. They had mechanical problems on the Skyliner most of that morning. And they didn't really get it going until that afternoon. So it's not necessarily weather either that's going to stop it. It's just a matter of, I don't know. Maybe time will make me forget, and it will be back to it again. So we'll see.
You've been wounded by the Skyliner, and you need
more
time
than once.
And you need time to recover.
Exactly.
But I'll be honest with you: the times I've stayed at Skyliner resorts, like when we stayed at Art of Animation, and I've stayed at Pop during meetups in November, and the Skyliner has been amazing. So
I know, and it is. And Brandon just put up a comment about the Skyliner too, so throw that up. But I agree, when it's running, it is phenomenal. It's a guaranteed 15 minutes to get to Hollywood Studios from Pop, provided there's no major lines. And usually once you're past rope drop, it's usually not that bad. Excuse me. Even after the closing of Epcot and Hollywood Studios, the line can be wrapped, and it still continues to keep moving. So I have no complaints about the Skyliner when it's running. It's just being in the middle of Epcot and not knowing which way to go, or being in my room at Pop Century far from either one And, you know, once you make the commitment, that's another half hour that you're getting to the skyline or you're turning around and coming back. Maybe not a half hour, maybe like 10 minutes. But still, the point being, you want to get to the park. So it feels
if it is rainy or drizzly and you make that trek up to the Skyliner to find out it's not running, because it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop just because it's drizzly or rainy. It's got to be lightning to make it stop. But it's got to be within like 10 miles or something ridiculous that
that's the thing you may not even know. Yeah,
Epcot's
so far away from Hollywood Studios or from the Pop Century itself that it could be somewhere else on the system where the storm's passing. I think I could have ridden the Skyliner, probably rode it half times. I could have ridden it this time around. And Epcot, the bus stop is ridiculously far away. Hollywood Studios is not bad because it's all in the same spot. I mean, you're going to the Skyliner anyway. The buses are right past it. Everybody else.
You got to walk by the Skyliner regardless, right?
Right. But Epcot's the biggest because just it's in two different locations and, you know, you're making that extra, extra 2 miles.
If you're in Mexico and you got to walk all the way past where you would go to the buses to go to the Skyliner and it's not running, you got to go all the way back. At that point, at that point, if it were me, if I made it to the Skyliner and found out it wasn't running, I would just walk over to the
boardwalk and Uber it.
Yeah, and sure. Uber it from there. I don't have it in me to. You know,
that's a tough night because that is a hell of a walk from there.
It's ten to fifteen dollars, and it sucks to have to spend that. But I'm not walking. I'm not walking from where the Skyliner is all the way back around to the buses.
Right. And sorry, guys. Sorry, I apologize for the last minute bitch session. I really apologize. But
you really went. You really went negative there.
But the Skyliner is so fun. We got to watch the Magic Kingdom fireworks on the way back from Epcot after Epcot's fireworks were done and they closed the park. So, I mean, that was pretty fun. And the people in the cars usually in Skyliners are fun to talk to. Nobody's usually that mad because we're on the Skyliner and it's working usually. But very, very good. Yeah.
I much prefer the Skyliner. I mean, other than boats, maybe.
Right.
The boats are great. Maybe the Skyliner even better. It seems like because even if they do put you in another party, you're right. It's because it's not a bunch of people. It's just you and another party.
But you gotta wait for a boat. Your boat fills up, that goes away. Another boat's not waiting for you to get into the next boat.
That's true.
You know. So. Okay.
So. I'd be remiss if we don't mention that in November, we have the Disney Nerds Podcast 10th anniversary meetups, November 9th, 10th, and 11th. So November 9th, 10th, and 11th. November 9th is a Thursday. That night we have our Splitsville meetup. It is a paid event. It is the only paid event, but does come with food. And if you choose an open bar, you don't have to do the open bar. We have options for both. And it's 3 hours, 7 to 10. Can't wait for that. It's going to be a great time.
Yep.
And then also on Friday night, we have our sample-a-thon. So we're going to start in Canada and work our way halfway around the world to Epcot, to America and Epcot, World Showcase. And then just stopping along the way. The ladies will probably... Not all, but the ones who choose to will be wearing light up tutus again,
and we'll some guys.
I don't know any guys that are wearing the light up tutus. I'm not against it, but we will also have glow necklaces and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun. Like I think it's so cool when you walk away, like from the group, like go to the restroom or something. You come back and you just see all your group. You see your tribe. Like you see all your people with the light up tutus and the glow necklaces. And you know, hey, that's my group right there. Tutus were a hit. They really were. Kim is correct. And then Saturday morning is the scavenger hunt, also at Epcot. I got these in the mail. I hate to give everybody. I'll give you guys a little preview. There's only 8 of you here. I'll give you a little preview. These are coasters that we got that I'm probably going to bring for the Splitsville event. It is our Disney Nerds Podcast 10th anniversary.
Beautiful
logo, and it's just a stack of. We got a bunch of them, stack of coasters that we'll be using throughout the trip, and we're going to have all kind of cool stuff, swag, and stuff to be. given out. Those of you who've been to the scavenger hunts before know we do pretty good prizes, prize packs for the people who participate in that. Most of it's provided to us by our friends Bobby and April over at Pixie Purchases with April.
Good. And it usually starts at like first place down to like almost sixth place. So, you know, you're participating, you're definitely going to get something. If your kids are coming along, no matter what place you guys place, your kids are definitely going to get something.
And even for the, on the Friday night for right. the sample-a-thon, we do trivia along the way and we usually give out some prizes and some swag and stuff for that. So we got to get David and Kim Picciano to come over to meet us out there for the meetups.
Oh, it'll definitely be fun.
Yeah, Kim and her Scentsy store, or Kim, my wife Kim, not David's wife Kim, because they both are Kim and they both have Scentsy stores. So my wife Kim also has a door prize she's going to be donating from Scentsy. It's very nice. For the Splitsville meetup this year. I forget if I guess we have to buy tickets or something. Like the tickets you tear off and...
Oh, yeah, she'll figure it out before we get
there. Yeah, we'll figure something out to do a drawing or something. Maybe we'll even do a couple drawings of a first, second runner-up or something.
And before we get out of the show, I do want to thank everybody that did make it to our Saturday meetup last Saturday, because the people that made it definitely were the diehards, and we had a great time. I got to meet a lady from Florida, previously from somewhere else, who actually was impressive. Dee, I'm not sure if I want to say her name on here tonight, but Dee was great. She actually reminded me that I met her in 2014 on one of our first trips down to Walt Disney World. My son and I, we must have had a little bit of swag at the beginning, because I met her outside, I want to say Hollywood Studios, and I had a Disney Nerd shirt on. She's like, the Disney Nerds. And I was like, hey, how's it going? Introduced ourselves. I gave her a t-shirt. And she reminded me of that almost 10 years later. So very, very cool. Hoping to see that type of, like, you know, people at the November event too. So very cool. Hopefully Dee will be there. I'm sure she's going to be. So very fun.
Lily, when are you going in September? Just curious. Kim and I will be there, I think, the 6th through the 10th. And David, believe me, I don't personally know, but Ed is a teacher as well. So he's been lucky enough to, out of 10 years of meetups, to make probably 8, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, November's tough. Although it's not as bad, because you're getting ready for the holiday season. So a lot of the things we get kind of done. And I just put time in for it early, personal time.
Yeah. So, but I know the struggle. I mean, I know Ed is still sweating. Like he's not sure if he's going to be able to make it this year. We're fingers crossed, hoping he can make it, but, I completely understand. Hey, but look, even if you could fly out, even if you could just get a couple days off, come in on Thursday and stay through Sunday.
Sure.
You can still make all the meetups, and it's just, you know, Thursday and Friday off. If you find somebody to cover it for Thursday and Friday, if not,
Friday is the most, I guess, social. Thursday night's, of course, very social, but again, it's a paid event, and I don't want to have everybody pay for that. But Friday night's also a very social event. We have a fun time as we walk around talking to everybody. Once we get to America, it's usually kind of an hour, a little bit more than that, as we sit around, listen to the band, wait for fireworks. And so really fun. And then usually we hang out afterwards too. So
this year we'll be on Friday night, we'll be Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. We'll be the band, which is cool, 'cause I think they're great.
Yeah. It's not the Hooters.
Yeah. Not the Hooters. Or we've had some,
the same band a couple of years in a row.
We've had some good ones. I mean, one year we had Blue October. I mean, we've had some good ones, but yeah, some of them were pretty bad. David, Picciano, like me, we talked about this on another thread on Facebook, but he may contain alcohol at points too. So talking about the Splitsville, it is a paid event, but it's $79 if you want the open bar. So 3 hours open bar and food for $79, in my opinion, is pretty.
You gotta put that at Disney on it.
Yeah, at Disney. 3 hours in Splitsville with pizza, sushi, chicken tenders, and an open bar. Not just beer and wine, beer, wine, mixed drinks, whatever you want, open bar, not whatever you want, but call brands.
Well, sure. No, it's a pretty open menu. And yeah. The sushi I had it the other night, and I'm still amazed that a bowling alley makes really, really
good. It's incredible. It really is. It really is. So, and then if you're not a drinker, $39, and you can still come and do the food and soft drinks for 3 hours. So I we try and keep it like we don't, you know, as a podcast and as a group, we try and make it affordable. We're not trying to make money. We're trying to, we probably don't even really cover all the costs, but we try and cover most of the costs of the, we try and cover most of the cost of the event, but we're not making any money at $79.
It's more along the lines that we like to do these type of events when we used to go down and visit groups. So we want to be able to provide that for everybody if you want to do it.
And I think, you know, the Sample-a-thon is fun, and it is very social. The Splitsville meet is just a little more intimate because you got your own little area.
Which is cool. It's nice. You get to see the entire, like, drag, I guess, of, I wanted to say downtown Disney, of Disney Springs, as you look out the windows of the second floor area that we have at Splitsville. So very nice. Yeah, our own bar. Our own bartenders, the one bartender was like, wait, you look really familiar, talking to Jimmy. We were there the other night. And he was like, he was the guy that was helping us out in November last year. So it was really cool.
Yeah, I've gotten to know quite a few of them. So it's kind of me and Kim's, it's kind of our hangout too, you know, is where we go to grab food. And, and you know, when we're there, other than the meetups, we still like to go hang out there and grab food, grab drinks, and then take food back. Or like, when we're there in September, there'll probably be an LSU game. That's probably where we'll go. Sure. That's probably where we'll go watch it, you know.
No major sports bar there really at Disney World, right? No ESPN.
I think it – well, not anymore. So, you know, it's right. Splitsville and City Works, I think, is the two probably best places to watch the sports, sporting events. So.
Right. Okay.
Well, thank you guys for joining us a little over an hour tonight. We'll see you next Tuesday. Yeah, next Tuesday. Then I'll be going on a cruise. I'll be in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, heading to Cozumel on Carnival cruise. Eventually, I'm going to have to do a Disney cruise. But this is just a Carnival cruise. So thank you guys for joining. We'll see you next Tuesday. Have a wonderful night. Thank you guys all for joining. We'll see you soon.
Okay, guys. Bye-bye. See you next week.
Hopefully, we'll see you in November. Have a good one. Bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace.